Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be here another 24 and a half minutes, and we hope you're having a nice day. Today's December 31, so whatever you've been procrastinating to do this year, you're on the clock now. You got about, 13 hours to accomplish your goals for 2025.
And if it includes reading the entire Bible, you're going to start tomorrow.
Yeah, you failed. Yeah, what you've done.
Just start tomorrow.
Might as well face that fact. Yeah. You failed and repent and start over.
Yeah. Or you plan to lose 20 pounds.
Yeah, that's a better one. That's a better.
You plan to lose it in the upcoming year?
No, oh, this past year.
In 2025.
And you didn't do it?
And you didn't do it.
Again, failure.
That's right.
Okay, you have to deal with
it. Own it.
You need to own it.
Wear it. Move on. Learn from it.
Yeah. Move forward and get it next time.
There you go.
Don't get the cheesecakes, what we're saying to you.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, Fred Jackson, Wesley Wildman, and now Steve Paisley-Jordahl joins us. Good morning, Brother Steve.
Good morning, everybody. How y'all doing?
Fantastic.
Well, I'm doing really good, except for this, what I call cold weather, what people in Minnesota and Iowa would
say warm weather.
People in Michigan would laugh.
This Colorado boy's having a hard time.
I know. It's not bitter cold, but anything below... Well, 30, anything below 35.
Next week, we're back up to 65.
That's what I'm talking about.
In Mississippi.
That's why God put me here.
That's right.
On this place on the planet, so that I can have 55, 60-degree winter days.
I'm getting ready to celebrate the 10th anniversary of my failure to follow through on any of my New Year's resolutions.
Oh, so, you celebrating it, are you?
I am, yes.
How do you celebrate failure, markers. Steve?
Well, you go out and have a piece of cheesecake.
So, in other words, you just give up.
Just give up and give in. There's always next year.
It's always next year. Everything working okay with this microphone? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right, so before we get to... We got the most important news is the college football playoffs.
There you go. Okay.
That are going to take place in the next 24 to 36 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just telling all my friends and family, do not contact me. Okay. Starting tonight, I'm going to be zombied out.
I thought you were about to make a prediction, and if you got it wrong, don't call me.
I can make predictions, but I'm just saying that.
You're saying more so if you need something.
I'm saying
from me.
That I'm going to be watching football.
Right.
Football.
So if it's not about the game.
That's what I'm saying. Yes. If you're going to call and tell me, hey, you know, the world's ending, I will say to you.
Fourth quarter. Get back with me
after the game's over.
Okay? That's right. Get back.
Tonight you're going to be watching Ohio State and Miami.
I am going to be watching Ohio State. I got to watch my grandkids first.
Well.
I gotta watch them with my wife for a couple of hours. While all our three kids and their spouses go out to New Year's Eve dinner.
Set them up on
we're watching all the kids.
Play area right next to the TV. You can kind
of we are gonna put them in front of the TV. On a family friendly movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
Popcorn, all
but
that.
Then I'm gonna go home and watch Ohio State and Miami play.
Yeah. How do you think that's gonna end up?
I don't have a dog in that hunt, so to speak. But we have a lot of listeners in Ohio and a lot of people who donate in Ohio to our ministry. And I'm not going to upset them more than Miami. So I'm going to pull for the Buckeyes right there.
There you go.
But I have nothing against Miami, but I'm going to pull for the Buckeyes. Then tomorrow we got Oregon versus Texas Tech.
Yep.
That's the
first game,
right?
Yep.
I'm pulling for Texas Tech right there. Nothing
all
against
right.
Oregon, again, but Texas Tech is one of those teams that's never been to the playoffs, college football playoffs.
It's going
to
be a heavy lift for them.
I'm pulling for the underdogs, so to speak.
Well, then you're the second game, you're obviously then rooting for Indiana.
Yeah, you know, I have a lot of friends who are Alabama fans, but...
Roll Tide. I had to say that to my marriage.
You know
contract.
What? I would say in human history, you know what? You've won enough. You know? So... I got to go Indiana right there.
All right.
Huh?
Well,
Again, nothing against Alabama.
But you have. Well, let me ask you this.
What I'm saying in all these games, I am pulling for the little guy. I'm pulling for the little dog who's taking on the big dog. You understand? Except for Ohio State, right. Miami.
So here's the way that most people, they have a team they root for, and if their team is not playing, then they go to maybe the conference.
Well, that's
the
true.
FCC, that's true. Or
but Indiana is such a good story.
You're doing, yeah.
Okay.
You're doing the narrative.
They're the losingest program in college football history, and here they are, number one in America, with a Heisman Trophy winner, and they got a chance to for a Hoosiers 2 movie.
Yeah.
All right. If they win it all, I'm saying.
One of the benefits of the new college football way things are with NIL and the transfer portals and everything, nothing.
That's a subject for another day.
It is, but I think it's kind of the reason that teams can't.
Are you wanting some NIL money, Steve? Is that what we're getting around to?
I will take whatever's offered.
Are you going to hit the transfer portal?
No, there's a Paisley team that's kind of waiting, but I'm going to stick here.
Aren't you going to ask me about? I love the tradition of Alabama, but again, I'm pulling for underdogs here.
Okay, then the last
Indiana's not an underdog in this game, by the way.
No, but it depends on which Alabama team shows up. Yeah, Alabama's been very
inconsistent. Last game of the day?
Last game of the day. So, Georgia and Mississippi, Ole Miss. You are a State fan, obviously. Does that pull you towards Georgia in this case? Because Ole Miss and...
I am a Mississippi State grad.
Played in the fifth.
Wesley, my son here. My son here went to Mississippi State.
Yep.
Our whole family is Mississippi State grads and fans.
Cowbell to the bone.
We suffer together.
Right.
We go through life.
No, we just count down the days of baseball. Every
we
year.
Wait till baseball. That's our sport, baby.
Yeah.
College baseball, huh? Yeah, Cap, that won't be long now to college baseball, and then you'll see our school in the top five.
Absolutely.
But you're asking me about the Ole Miss Rebels,
right?
Which are our rival.
Yes, they are.
Our in-state rival. And I'm putting that aside, and I'm pulling for Ole Miss.
Again, an underdog.
Underdog.
Oh, yeah.
Ole Miss is the underdog. Georgia, not quite like Alabama, but Georgia has won. America does not want to see Georgia and Alabama and Ohio State anymore in the national championship. With all due respect to their fans, America's ready to see Texas Tech, Indiana, or Ole Miss.
All right. Without going through all of the...
I speak for America.
Well, of course you do. Without going through all the permutations, who's the national champion?
Spell that word you just used.
Permutations. Permutation.
Okay.
Yes.
All right, I won't go through them, but go ahead.
We could do who's going to be in the semifinal, who wins each game. But my question, the final question is, who wins the championship this year?
You asking me?
I'm asking
or Wesley you. Or Fred?
Well, let's go down the road. We can even get Brent involved if he wants.
Oh, well,
there's to ask it in two ways. So do you want to win it, and who's going to win it?
All right.
Answer however
I'll answer this way at this juncture, because we're in the final
spell
eight.
That.
Okay, I'm saying this is my own opinion, and if anybody disagrees, that's fine. I'm saying the winner of the college football national championship will come from either Ohio State, Indiana, or Georgia.
Okay.
Those are the teams that have the most talent. Whether they win it all or not, I don't know, but those are the teams that have the most talent and have played most consistently during the year. But we'll see what happens there.
Wesley, are you picking a winner?
Well, I agree with what he said. I think Ohio State's going to win the whole thing, but I want Indiana to win the whole thing.
Yeah, he wants another Hoosiers.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
Too.
Fred, this is a sport that's played on grass with an oblong ball, not on ice. So do you even
Are you going to watch the games, Fred? Do you care at all?
I do. I usually watch the Rose Bowl.
Okay. Well, yeah, the Rose Bowl is Indiana and Alabama.
Yeah.
They could have met in Nashville and saved a lot of money.
Well, I have a son-in-law who's a grad of Alabama, so I'm going to go with Alabama.
Okay, you pull it for Alabama. Roll Tide.
Peace in the family.
Steve married into an Alabama family.
Yeah.
Roll Tide, although I have kind of my doubts. Brent, do you have a pick in this?
Brent Creeley.
I want Indiana to win, but I feel like Georgia may be the person.
You mean to win it all?
To win it all, yes.
Win it all, yeah.
Want Indiana, but you're picking Georgia.
Yes.
All right. Well,
the heart goes one way, the brain and the
I did ask Alex if this is any of this is mentioned in the Revelation.
Oh,
and he said no.
Oh,
so after further review,
I'm sorry. So the Bible does not speak to the college football.
God
playoff.
Is not involved in this. I mean, he loves every player, and they will give glory to him. Most of them.
That's right.
I always say, in all seriousness, God doesn't care who wins the football game, but He does care about the people who play them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How do you like that? That's a good answer, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've actually written an article on that. Seriously. Yeah. And so I'm serious. It's on the stand. The way I word it is God may not care about who wins the game, but He cares about how you play the game.
That's true.
Your character.
Yep. Your character matters.
Yep.
All right, you're listening to Today's Issues. What's your first story?
The war that Donald Trump was going to conclude and solve in 24 hours is going on many more months. But Ukraine has sent drones over to hit Moscow. They are they're meeting. The president and Zelensky were together recently, and he's talking to Putin all the time, Donald Trump is, but there doesn't seem to be an end in sight, and now Ukraine is kind of going on the offensive by targeting Moscow, and some say maybe even Putin's residence.
So, yeah, we talked about this the first hour, Fred.
Oh, did you?
We did, but that's okay for you bringing it up, because this is a huge international story right now, the fact that the Ukrainians are hitting Moscow, the capital of and the heart of Russia, and knocking the power out. It's a lot of people in darkness over there.
Yep, 600,000. I think the only way this is going to end if Ukraine agrees to give up the 1/3 of the eastern portion of their country. That is the only thing that might, capital M, might satisfy Putin. If Ukraine says, okay, you can have that 1/3.
The fact that they're sending offensive weapons against Moscow, the capital, that brings us to a kind of a whole new level in this war. This is not going the direction of peace.
Let me ask you this. Is President Trump, has he taken a policy position on, in other words, is he leaning on Zelensky and telling him, you got to give up a third of your country in order for this to, Is he promoting that idea?
To answer your question, you may remember, and we talked about it on our program here about 3-4 months ago, when Trump did say Ukraine may have to give up something. And there was that was a strong hint to me that Zelensky is being pressured by Trump, hey, to end this, to end the bloodshed, to end this war, if Putin was agreeable to ending this if you give him that 1/3 portion of your country. Right. And so far, Zelensky is not indicating at all that he's willing to do that. Thus, the hitting back and forth continues.
This has horrible echoes to things that happened in the past when they carved up Czechoslovakia. They gave up Czechoslovakia in World War II. They just... Western powers decided this is what has to sacrifice. They weren't even in the room to talk about it. So,
next story.
All right. There is a history professor at Harvard whose name is James Hankins, and he is leaving. And he wrote a letter, which is published in the magazine called Compact, about why he's leaving. He is leaving because he says the younger generation finds itself in a state of moral and intellectual disorientation. And he is kind of taking the Harvard University to task for being woke and white, focusing on so-called white supremacy. And things have not changed.
He's saying Harvard's for white supremacy or against it?
Well, they're against it, but they think it exists. They're hiring their student. He's talking about a student he had that was one of the best students coming out of high school, had all of the qualifications, but was passed over because he was white and male.
And well, I read that same story again. Yeah. We're talking about a tenured professor at Harvard. And what's the gentleman's name?
James Hankins.
James Hankins. He's no conservative, I'm sure. I don't know him, but I'm guessing they don't. But he's saying Harvard switched over, like many of these, especially Ivy League schools, switched over to giving admittance to people based on their race or their ethnicity or their minority status, rather than who is who's more qualified in terms of objective standards, like testing, for example, right?
Right. But
you know, that's the way it should be. You should jobs should be given out based on somebody's qualities and their performance and their achievements and their competence, not on whether they're a male or a female, or whether they're black or white or brown, or whether they're whatever the case may be. You should give an admittance to a university should be based mm-hmm. on objective standards, not on somebody's race or gender or something like that.
Because otherwise it would be racist to exclude someone right. based on their skin color.
Well, a lot of Asians have complained about this.
Well, yeah. There's far more Asians that are being than white people.
Because there's a lot of Asians that excel in academics, because that's very important in their family structure, as much as any ethnicity.
That's right.
Education, academic achievement is very important to most Asian families. That's why you see them excel.
Harvard and the left is kind of taking your version of how they root for the underdog. You want the underdog football team to win. Anybody who is, in their mind, what they call oppressed, any group that is oppressed, whether it be because of skin color, because of income, because of sexual orientation, so-called.
Okay.
All of these things, they don't care as long as the person that is in power is brought down.
Well, that's not the American way.
No.
And
yet.
No. Listen, then if you're denying somebody entry into a university because they're a white male, then guess who you're doing? You're oppressing them.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you're for the oppressed, shouldn't you be for that person that's being oppressed? Listen, So this whole DEI thing is just the wrong way to go about hiring and moving people in positions of
Which is why it's failing.
It failed. You don't put people in positions because they are a certain ethnicity, religion, gender. That's just not the right way to get the best and the cream of the crop. Go ahead, Fred.
Related to this, Zoran Mamdani.
Who?
Zoran Mamdani.
Zoran Mamdani?
Yes. He will be sworn in two ceremonies tomorrow as the mayor of New York. First ceremony is at midnight tonight, and then there's a big ceremony tomorrow. He is already pointing towards the head of his schools as being a man who wants to get rid of New York City's gifted and talented program.
See, why would you do that? Why would you do it? Don't you want gifted and talented students?
Which this, according to critics of the program, believe it is racially biased. No.
So is the NBA.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. These are for kids. They're smart kids. They're doing really well.
Yeah.
And they want to be put in an environment that challenges them.
That's right.
Zoran Mamdani is appointing to head up schools in New York City, he wants to dismantle that completely. Because
in the name of what, though?
Because equality. They believe
equality. Social justice?
Equality.
Yes.
Equality?
DEI.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, again, apply that to
the NBA.
I said the NBA. What if NBA teams were told, okay, you got to be proportional here. Okay, you're going to have 60% white players, 30% black players. You're going to have an Asian and a Hispanic on your basketball team.
Yeah.
Instead of who are the best players, let's sign them to contracts. No, you got to base it on other factors that have nothing to do with their skill level.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. That's I don't know. I don't know why this is hard to understand. This except is a, yeah. this is, it's most of this is driven by people who are socialist.
Mm-hmm.
They want social justice brought to the, and so they believe in forcing it on people, and the way they can force it on people is to deny people who are from a majority, like white people, you know, the same, or Asians. Well, Asians aren't, they're not, quote, Europeans. They're, well, they're not, quote, Europeans. They're not traditional white category right. in terms of ethnicity.
Yes.
But they would, it's not based on achievement. It's based on the DEI. It's based on a skin color or a gender, usually. Go ahead. Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, do you when somebody flies a jet and you get on a jet, right?
And this has actually been an issue.
They got two pilots up there. Do you care about whether they're a minority or a majority or no? Are there really they're male or female? No, right. You don't care about that. You care about are they the best? Did they graduate at the top of their class?
Can they fly
a plane?
Yeah. Did they meet qualifications?
Or did they make it because of a DEI program? Nobody wants to get on a jet like that.
I think we'll be covering stories like this over the next, you know, 5 or 6 years, 10 years. But the reality is, though, that we need to remember is that the DEI and the wokeness is losing.
It is.
Overall.
It is, because it doesn't work.
It doesn't work. And unfortunately, we had to go through the Biden administration predominantly applying this and culture applying it for us to see that. But you don't have to be a conservative Christian to know that men can't play women's sports.
No.
I mean, you don't have... Right. This is just...
Yeah, it didn't work there.
Yeah, it doesn't work.
It's unfair. But also, did you see where he is being sworn in with a Quran?
Oh, yes. Really?
That's yes. right.
Both talking about Mondami, the new mayor of New York, he will be
both
first time in history that a Muslim.
Makes me angry.
Yes.
He will be sworn in with his hand on a Quran.
Very interesting. Keith Ellison, the Attorney General of Minnesota, who's Muslim.
He
used a Quran.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Ilhan Omar used a Quran.
Right.
And so now on both ceremonies, Mamdani is going to be sworn in using his Quran.
I thought we weren't supposed to bring religion and politics.
No.
That's what the left tells us, unless it's their religion.
Unless it's a Quran.
Yeah, it's a
Quran. Y'all can get me mad, boy.
It's okay. You save your emotions for the deer this afternoon. You're going to try to make a meal out of. All right, we got like 30 seconds.
Full. Just a shout out to a mom who's unnamed, who was on a Carnival cruise. The ship had docked at a harbor, and the little 4-year-old little child wandered away and fell into the ocean between the dock and the ship. Without thinking, mom jumps in after the baby. Both were pulled out, and both enjoyed the rest of the day and the rest of the cruise.
Whew, I'm glad there's a happy ending to that story.
Probably wouldn't have brought it up.
But the point is, the heroic behavior of the mom,
Mama Bear,
was natural instinct.
Didn't think; she just jumped in.
Praise God!
Yeah,
amen.
The little girl was saved, and her mom was saved.
Yep,
that was a Carnival cruise.
Carnival cruise.
Okay, all right, Fred. Thank you.
You bet.
My thanks to Wesley and Steve and Brent Creeley. And then we thank Chris Woodward and Cole Green for running the – I don't thank Cole a lot. Take him for granted. Sorry, Cole. We're looking for
alternative energy.
Hey, listen, we will be here Friday for a live edition of Trivia. So we'll be here live on Friday with Trivia. Otherwise, we're off tomorrow, so our offices are closed. But we'll have some special programming for you.